Yeah.
Alrighty.
I'm good.
Good
morning.
Good morning.
Before we get started, I would like to see if I can make an appointment with you, with each of you. I know that we all keep track of our appointment times differently, so I don't know if you have a calendar or if you do it on your phone or just want to mentally think of your schedule. I want to see if we can find a time where we could get together. So, can anybody spare some time, get some time together on Mondays? You know, afternoon, evening, anyone? Okay. How about anybody on Thursdays? Thursdays? It's going to be you and me, I guess. Thursday evenings?
We got Mondays.
Mondays? Okay. What about Saturdays? Saturdays? Maybe? All right, well, I kind of trapped you on that. Maybe some of you saw that coming. What does our calendar say about our walk of faith? That's our challenge this morning. There's a story that a lady named Kirsten Holmberg tells. It says, as the family made their way toward their car, the son Xander escaped his mother's arms and he made a mad dash back toward the church doors. He didn't want to leave. His mom ran after him and tried to lovingly wrangle her son so that they could depart. And when his mother finally scooped the four-year-old back up into her arms, he sobbed. And he reached longingly over her shoulder toward the church as they walked away. Xander may have merely enjoyed playing with his friends at church, but his enthusiasm is a picture of how King David had this desire to worship God. Turn with me to Psalm 84. Are you there?
Yes.
Begin with verse 1. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird also has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, how blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you, Selah. How blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold our shield, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. Do we have that attitude about church, about getting together for worship? Are we going because we're excited? Are we going because it's a duty? Are we going because I put pressure on you to show up?
That's it.
I mean, it could be any one of those. I know I do that. But think about King David. I mean, he's a busy guy, and he's got charge over a whole kingdom of people. He's got wars to go out and fight, and and a city to defend. And I ask about our community that we live in. Why are people so tired that they can't come to church on Sunday? That's what goes through my brain. On the other end, to God's glory, everyone here, we've got these personal ministries going and growing. And one of the dangers of a church that is sacrificially serving God is you get too burnt out on your ministry that you can't come to church Sunday. So how do we balance the two? I mean, it's a real world issue. I hope through our discussion this morning you'll come to a personal answer to that. Turn with me to Luke 2. Luke 2, we're going to pick up at verse 41. Luke 2, beginning with verse 41. Are you there?
Amen.
When Elizabeth, that's wrong chapter. That's one. I wasn't there. I am now. Now, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning, after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents were unaware of it. But supposing him to be in the caravan, they went a day's journey. And they began looking for him among the relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then, after 3 days, they found him in the temple of all places, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And that when they saw him, meaning when the parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have anxiously been looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you are looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all of these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. The grace that we've each been given by God through Jesus cannot manifest in others if we aren't gathering together, if we aren't being confronted with failure, being confronted with sin and things that require grace. Grace is not meant to be held closely and only for you. It's meant to be administered. It's meant to be given out. If we're to manifest grace, we've got to be doing it not in our only in our daily life, but also in the temple each week. Are you like me? Did you wonder why it took Joseph and Mary 3 days wandering around Jerusalem before they realized, hey, I should look in the temple? I find that kind of interesting, but in a sense, it's kind of comforting, right? I mean, if Joseph and Mary can be that confused and blow it like that, then, maybe there's room for us when we blow it.
I mean, you forgot me at the library for 4 hours once.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It wasn't 3 days.
No.
And you weren't Jesus.
A good place to forget me, though.
You're in your natural element there.
Yeah. I have a little trouble with the arrogance of Jesus and not telling his parents he wasn't going to be coming back with them. I'll be staying here.
Yeah.
I mean, that seemed almost like a sin to me. I mean,
yeah. Except that probably as you think it through, you realize when he answers, "Didn't you know I must be in my Father's house?" You know, they knew from even before he was born that they were bearing the Son of God. And so their parenting of Jesus was a totally different paradigm than ours. But I think this is, it kind of demonstrates a turning point in the parents' relationship with Jesus and really beginning to understand who this Jesus was. And then he shows up, you know, what, 18 years later at that wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mom's telling him to go make wine, do it, and telling the other people, do what he says. But, you know, aren't we kind of like Joseph and Mary? In other words, we spend all of our time looking in all the different places for Jesus, and we forget, what about the temple? What about the church? We say, this one always mystifies me. We say that we're sick, but we can't go to the temple. My Bible reads, if we are sick, that's where we go. That if we confess our sins one to another, we will be healed. So I'm thinking, shouldn't our attitude flip? If we're sick, shouldn't we go? To be prayed for and healed. Some say, we're kind of tired. And we're not going to go to the temple to look for energy and invigoration. And for me, that's the first place I want to go. I've told you many times, there are Sunday mornings I get up, and Adrian gets up, and we're dragging, oh man, I don't know if I can make it to church and do this. I'm tired. But I guarantee you, God has never, ever, ever failed to invigorate me when I gather together with you and Jesus. Amen. When I leave, I feel totally different. I hope you do too. How about when we've got family or friends visiting us and we say, I gotta stay home and prepare for them. Or we say that our sports only happen on Sunday, so I gotta stay home for that. Look what Jesus was doing in the temple. He wanted to be there. He was discussing the things of God with these older men. Discussing them, these learned scholars. He was discussing them. He wanted to learn, and they edified one another. And that's the core of this church structure. Why we sit in a circle, why we have the one another time, why you don't get kicked out of church when you interrupt the sermon. You know, it's the core of why we have breakfast before church, because we want to get here early and have some food and visit with our brothers and sisters. And that's why we have prayer time afterwards, to pray for one another. And if you're coming late or leaving early, maybe you've left Jesus in Nazareth, or left him back at the temple. You've headed back to Nazareth and left Jesus in the temple. Yeah. He's still here. There's still stuff going on.
What about if you need to come back?
So this morning's message, this message is not a guilt trip. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty so that you come early and you stay. No, it's way more than that. That's just the beginning. Um, Each of us has a schedule that gets commandeered. It gets commandeered. Do you know what commandeered means?
Taken over.
What?
Taken over.
Yeah.
Voluntary.
You know, it's not. We're not a willing participant. It just demands of us. If you're a parent or a grandparent of a child, your school and sports activities can commandeer your calendar. Can I get an amen? If you're elderly, you may have medical appointments that just commandeer your calendar. If you're a business owner, your work day, your work week never ceases. You don't have days off. If you're unemployed and without transportation, you're busier than ever trying to find rides and meet with the government providers and trying to obtain simple things like heat and food. You know, a lot of people really get on homeless people or unemployed people, they're being lazy. Well, from what I see is they are way busier than you, just trying to put together all the little basic things that we already have mastered. It's astounding. If you're employed and working for someone else, the labor shortage is causing your employer to demand more hours out of you. If you're a single-wage household, you're driven to work multiple jobs, and you find you have little time left over and no days off. If you have a personal ministry serving the church and community, you can get too tired or feel you have to put off other necessary things and you don't have time for church. And I think, huh, what? Wait a minute. That personal ministry starts and begins on Sunday morning church. That's first. I mean, our worship of God is first.
Just put it, Google it in.
Yeah.
And then you have to go.
Yeah. So if I hit everyone, offended everyone, hit everyone, great.
A couple times.
So.
I'm sure we can come up with a few more, just in case.
So the question becomes, okay, how can we control our calendar? How can we control our time? Right? I mean, you know, if you're kind of in agreement with the challenge, how do we gain control of it? How do we make a change? Well, from what I see is most people think the solution is to take Sunday off. Amen? You know, in their mind, they reason, well, I've worked 6 days and I'm dead tired. And Sunday's the only day that I can sleep. So they either stay home or maybe go visit their family. And others continue working on Sunday or they go to sports events or appointments. What are we doing? What are we doing? We are staying away from church and then we go do things with other people who are staying away from church. And we're all doing secular activities without getting together and worshiping God. That's what we're doing.
Don't kick me out.
You'd be alone if you kicked everybody out for anyway.
If you interrupt here, then you get more work put on you.
I'll kick him out.
You don't kick you out, you have to stay longer.
Okay. Faster now.
I live here, I'm cool with that. I mean, in a way, we're steering people away from church by doing that.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to ask you a question. If you're tracking with me and thinking this through, does anybody see a problem brewing when we do that? This creep, what I call, this gradual creep, begins to be permanent. It just creeps, and then eventually it becomes permanent. So if you see it happening in your heart, arrest yourself, you know, because it's dangerous. And I can't tell you, I've been pastoring for 20 years, every single week at church. And I've seen all of these things. So if you haven't experienced it in your life, at least take some of my experience as a possibility that, wow, yeah, it does happen. What about when we go on vacation or we have family or friends visit us? Do we take off from church? Do we, you know, when we go out of town, we do our best to try to go to a local church wherever we're visiting.
Unless God makes the serpentine belt off.
Yeah. Unless he has another appointment for us. And, you know, when you go on vacation, do you take your Bible with you? Really? I mean, do we have the mindset, I'm going on vacation, I'm going to leave God and church and the Bible at home? Or do we look at, wow, I might be able to find somebody at another church in another state that I can fellowship with? Or, I have so much more time to read the Bible now while I'm on vacation. Were you starting to say something again?
Yeah. Sorry, you're stuck with me. Really, we should have no excuse to not bring our Bibles with us, because we have iPhones and Samsungs and whatever the heck you have that has 5 million different Bible versions and all that junk on it. So even if you do forget your Bible or leave it at home, you can download 5 million different versions and devotions and all that stuff on it.
And they're free, too.
And you should think of it
free,
as our Bible that also makes calls.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Good one. So what is driving... Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, we could always do the old-fashioned thing and memorize verses like maybe once a week.
That we could. Amen.
That it's always with you, no matter what.
Yeah.
You get hit by a car, you're laying on the pavement, and you could say, have the Bible with
you. Yep. So, you know, what is driving our time? What is our passion? Like I said, this is not meant to be a guilt trip. It's way more than that. It's about rocking your world. I want to shake your world up this morning, that you go away and you are stomping and you're, but you're wrestling with the message, the challenge that is being put out for us. Because if not, where do we end up? We end up where Adrian was pointing out. We're bickering, and the love of many will grow cold. Let that not be of us.
Did you make part of this since our conversation yesterday?
No.
Okay.
No. You know, so many people I run into out in the community or door to door say, well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And to that I say, well, you don't have to go home to your wife to be married. Ouch! We know the answer to that one.
Yeah.
He's such a troublemaker. So, did it just take a while? Did it just catch on over there?
No, I just jabbed
it. Oh, boy. So, as part of answering that question, how do we take control of our calendar, of our, you know, our spiritual walk, why not take Saturday off and use Saturday to get prepared for Sunday? Seriously. Think about that. Sorry?
It's the right way anyway, really.
Yeah. I mean, in a sense, it's a Sabbath. You take your rest.
The Sabbath is the day we make it, not the Sunday.
True.
By, you know,
true.
The path looks changing.
If you need that Sabbath teaching, you can just, you know, Saturday's your day of rest.
Yes, your Sabbath day.
Sunday?
Yeah. Don't fall into the worldly view of it.
Yeah, good point. And then the other thing I want to challenge us with, what day of the week is the first day? Now, we all know that it's Sunday. But do you know that I bet you most of us have gotten in the habit of thinking Monday is the first day of the week, and when we start out our calendar, the first day on our calendar is Monday. You can even, when you're setting up your phone, it asks you, which day of the week do you want to be the first day?
Wednesday.
Yeah, but if you change it from Sunday to Monday, then it really messes you up if you've been 60 years looking at
the first day.
Yeah.
It's another thing that changes.
But this is a very, very simple thing that we can do in our lives to gain control. Change your seventh day to the first day. Make Sunday the first day of the week. What does that do? That means the very first morning that you are waking up in the week, in the new week, you're going to worship God. And the next 180 hours of your week started out with God, with you getting together and asking Him, what should I do this week? You know, what do you have planned? What are we going to do? And if we will do that, then Saturday comes around and you might say, oh, Friday night, well, I'm too tired to go to Saturday, but I think I'll just rest on Saturday. And then you get ready and you're energized for Sunday.
That's why I laid around all day yesterday.
Amen. And here you are.
See, I don't know when you're asking, what am I going to do this week to go? I mean, that kind of goes a little fearful in there. Yeah. Oh, no, what's he going to have me do this week?
Yeah.
Well, you know, as far as schedule and stuff, I've got it on my calendar that every Sunday from 10 to noon is Amazing Grace.
Amen. Great.
And she has it on my calendar, too.
Terry.
My nephew has a very unique job. Case in point, he works for Hobby Lobby. He does their shipping. Hobby Lobby is closed on Sunday. It doesn't matter where in the United States he goes. He ends up Saturday at a Hobby Lobby, and they're closed. And there is no excuse for him not to go to church. He has been to many churches across the United States. Well, his grandfather happens to be a pastor. His grandfather prayed for him when he went out and got his truck license, that he just wouldn't be a trucker going back and forth across the United States. I have friends who work for the same trucking company, and they had never heard of the job my nephew has. It's planning. Not just him planning, but he's very thankful that he goes to church on Sunday. But his grandfather and his father and his mother and his grandmother all prayed for that job.
Amen. Amen.
I want you all to know that Walmart took me off the tobacco selling place because of the sermons they were getting.
And I've heard a few of your sermons there.
Tobacco sales way down for the season.
So, you know, what we're asking ourselves on this Saturday, Sunday thing is, are we giving God our leftovers or are we giving Him our first fruits? I mean, that's a huge shift when you start to think about this Saturday and Sunday. You know, which is your first day, which is your last day? Are we giving Him leftovers or first fruits? If you will, if you struggle with your calendar and being too busy and not being able to spend the time that you want with God, start with the first day and the seventh day and get that laid out and get your body schedule set up for that. And it's just a matter of thinking a little differently.
Well, my Saturday is my Friday and Sunday starts my weekend.
All right. And you're here every week.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so as we prepare for Thanksgiving this coming Thursday, you know, I was thinking, one of the things I really, really, really like about Thanksgiving is everything's closed. I mean, I have this total feeling of rest. I mean, I know I don't have to go get out and do things. And if somebody wants to interrupt me, I can just say, oh, sorry, Thanksgiving.
Also, it'll be open. Well, Walmart will be closed.
Yeah, okay.
Really?
Thanksgiving and Christmas are the ones that they close. I don't know if I invited people over for Thanksgiving or not, but I'm just not up to it. So if I did, I'm sorry. I can't do it this year.
All righty.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you think about it, kind of building on what Terry was saying about Hobby Lobby being closed on Sundays, you know, when I was a kid, pretty much everything was closed on Sunday. Yeah, and you couldn't go buy.
No, the movies were open.
Yeah. So, you know, what's happened in our society? Secular activities have taken over. Let's reclaim this day for God and for us. It's, you know, God gave us this day of rest for us. For us. So, as we say up here on the screen, may we all learn to schedule our days so that we have time to think about and listen to our God. Somebody started this thing last week before about meditating on God's word. Who was somebody here? You know, it says right there in Psalm 1, if we will just meditate on God's word day and night. Meditate. To be thinking about God's word, you've got to have a little bit of order and peace in your life. You've got to have some pre-thought out time to think, to meditate on God's word. And I guarantee you, in God is where we find our peace and our joy and our safety. So, I don't know, any closing thoughts any of you have, comments?
I don't understand anything about the phone and everybody having a Bible on them. It's ironic for the last, I don't know, 6 months or so. Every day, the very first thing I do when I pick my phone up is open my Bible app to have my verse. The daily verse. I won't let myself. And now, like to begin with, I just kind of like got into doing it. And now, like I literally won't let myself open or call anybody or text anybody, awesome. Do anything without doing that very first. And it's like how it just began that routine every awesome. Morning.
Great.
It's kind of neat. So.
Yeah. Donna.
That's what I do. Usually in the morning, you know, I don't have any curtains out there because there's no one out there. I usually wake up facing out the window, and when you were talking last week, like nature is the proof, one of the proofs of the Lord, and I look out there and we just have a little talk every morning.
Little talk with Jesus, huh?
Sometimes the bathroom calls me first, but I always have that and lay there looking out the window and communing with the Lord.
I'm already communing on the way to the bathroom.
You're coming with me.
Hope I'll make it.
All righty.
Mark, is on the when we talk, are we giving the Lord our leftovers or our first fruits? Since when I was a young Christian, and I was a fairly young Christian when we moved over to Del Norte, and you know, I've heard that before, and I kind of, you know, you kind of mull it over and think about it and what does it mean and stuff. And it became more obvious, I guess, a more solid recognition of what that actually meant when, as a church ministry over there, we opened a thrift store. And essentially, we became the dumping ground of Del Norte's because people didn't want to go to the dump. They would just come and bring all of their stuff that they cleaned out of wherever. We'll just take it to the thrift store. And now, I'm not saying I'm not before that. Now I don't do that anymore. But before that, I was probably guilty of the same thing, right? Well, I don't really want to throw it away. Maybe somebody can find a use for it or whatever. You know, you come up with your excuses and. So you take stuff, you know, that doesn't quite work or maybe isn't quite good, and you just take it to the thrift store and let them sort through it, right? And that's what we saw at the church. I mean, to the point of, we had the building that the thrift store was in, we had one room that was sort of the store, and then we had, it was an old nursing home, so there were these, like, three rooms that were big rooms, what, 15 by 15 rooms attached to it, and at one point, all of those back rooms were probably filled wall to wall, 5 feet high, with stuff. It took, I don't know if Danny remembers this or not, but it took, I took the kid, I'm like, we gotta deal with this. And me and the kids went over there and spent 3 solid weeks, more than full time, sorting through this room of just most probably 70% of it we had to throw in a truck and make multiple trips to the dump. And I guess that's where that first fruit thing, it's a solid example of how many times do we, and we've seen it here at the church, like people are going, oh, well, I'm getting a new chainsaw or a new piano or a new whatever. And so what should I do with my old sort of dilapidated, broken up one? And we go, I know, I'll donate it to the church. And how many times do we do that with everything else in our lives, right? We take the new thing and we're like, that's for us. And then I'm going to give the leftover, the rags or whatever over to the church. And I guess that was over in Del Norte was, I think, the first time it really came into my brain as a solid example of how we do that with not just our stuff, but the other parts of our life too, of you know, I really need to examine if that is that what I'm doing with my time for God? Is that what I'm doing with my attitude, with my thinking, with all that stuff? Is he actually coming first? Or am I, you know, buying the new piano and handing him the old one?
Amen.
Yeah, I used to ask my grandmother, we'd be sitting there sewing, and I'd say, why do we have, we're giving this to the Goodwill or something, why do we have to sew the buttons and repair the hem and stuff like that? And she says, well, how would you feel if someone gave you something that was all ratty and torn apart? So she always made sure that we were thinking about how the people would feel when we got rid of something.
And then how does God feel?
You know, with the blue jeans, back in my younger days, holes start forming and you get a patch and iron on. Look at the blue jeans of today now.
Yeah.
You're buying that way.
Yeah,
boy, jeans are important. The fronts are like totally gone, you know. Yeah.
Tear them up and charge $70 for them.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know what, they're at Walmart, they sell blue jeans that's already got the holes in them.
Yeah.
You know?
So, can we, as a body here, agree today in spirit that we should, can, and will make a renewed effort to put Sunday first in our schedule, God first, our calendar, you know, he's first on our calendar. Can we, you may not have a solution to it right now, but if you agree that, yeah, we should do that, I want to do that, and I want to encourage my brothers and sisters to do that, I want to support them to do that, because we've caught on to the things of serving God, and we have all these ministries going, which is great, and we should do that. But he doesn't. God doesn't say, get a ministry going and leave the church. So let's just agree in spirit. Amen?
Especially all of you that weren't here today.